Well, guys, thank you so much for being here today. How many of you remember how you were punished as a kid? Anybody? You know, my mom lives with me, so I remember, I'm reminded how I was punished as a kid every day. Some people, and I was thinking about this, how many of you were grounded when you were a kid? Okay. What that meant, for those of you that don't know what grounded meant, was you couldn't go out, you couldn't go to the party, you couldn't go skating, you couldn't go to the things that you wanted to go to, you were stuck at home. Okay. How many of you had to knew what switches were? Anybody? Okay. A lot of times today, people don't get into switches because, you know, that, oh, we don't want a corporal punishment our kids. It's like, nah, sometimes you need to knock them around a little bit, I'm thinking. Well, can't erase that, but it's out there. It's out there forever. So anyway, it's a Paul thing. Switches, you went out and you went to a tree or whatever, and you kind of took the limbs off in that switch, and they would use that switch. And there were things that as a kid you would try to do. You'd wear heavy jeans or you would put stuff in your back pocket until your mom or dad figured that out. And then they would go pick the switch, and you didn't want them picking the switch. How many had time out? Okay, Kim, thanks for being honest. No one else had time out? Okay, how many had to stand in the corner? I mean, that's kind of like time out. You know, it's like, you know, you need to get a hold of yourself. You need to just go over there, isolate yourself for a minute. And I wanted to kind of focus on that today because isolation, being alone, you know, being grounded was one thing, but you could hang out on your computer or you could watch TV or you could do things still around the house. You just couldn't go anywhere. But to be isolated, to be put away like in a corner by yourself, we're not meant to be by ourselves. That's why even in prison, you know, to be in prison, it's like, okay, I'm locked up. I can't go all these places, but there are things you can do in the prison. You can watch TV. You can go out in the yard. You can do these things until something happens and you get solitary confinement, which is the worst because you're alone. You're alone with your thoughts, with yourself, with everything. And you don't have anybody that you can share anything with. And that's not how we are designed. We are designed to be people in community. In fact, in the very beginning, it says that God created all of these things. And then he says to the Godhead, he says, let us make man in our image. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're there together. And the Godhead is saying, let us make man in our image. Even the Trinity, even the Holy Spirit, and God the Father and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, are there together. They're not alone. And so when God creates all of this in Genesis chapter 1, he looks out at it and he says, it's good. And he looks at man, he says, it's very good. And then on the seventh day, he rested. But then we get to chapter 2, and then there's another account of the creation story. And Jason is starting a series on Genesis, and he'll get into all this and correct anything I may be telling you that's wrong. But in Genesis chapter 2, God is talking to man, and then he's going to be talking about man. The first thing he says in verses chapter 2, verses 17 through 15 through 17, he says, the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. In other words, to man, this is what he's doing. He's taking man, he's formed him out of the dust, he's blew his sacred breath into him, and then he puts him in the garden and he says, you are to do these things. And he goes, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat it, you will surely die. So he's talking to man. But then in the very next verse, 18, he talks to the Godhead again, and he's talking about man, and this is what he says. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. If you go back and read chapter 2, it says God is looking around, and it says, you know, as Adam is naming these animals, and he's doing all of these things, he's doing everything that God, you would think a guy would love. Hey, man, you can hunt, you can fish, you could do whatever you want. You know, name the animals, you got all this. And then he looks around and he says, it's not good for man to be alone. There's no one suitable for Adam with all of these animals, with all of these things that I've created. And so he says, it's not good to be alone, and he creates woman. Because we are built for community. And that's my word for 2025, community. You're going to hear that over and over and over again. Community. We are not created to be alone. We are not created to be isolated. We are better together. I think about COVID, and we go back, a lot of churches and a lot of businesses and everything, they blame a lot of stuff on COVID. I mean, we were running in the 80s, 90s, and 100s every Sunday, boom, 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 and then COVID hit, and it was almost against the law to even meet. You know, you had to wear a mask. You had to separate. We did crazy things. After 4 weeks, we said, you know what, we're going to meet. We're going to give you these armbands. Remember those? Green meant, hey, you can come up, hug me, shake my hand or whatever. If it was yellow, it's like you could wave to me and you could get close to me, but make sure you got your mask on. If you were wearing red, it was like, hey, stay away, wave to me from across the room, you know. We tried to do all those things, but COVID did so much more than just the illness of being sick. It affected our world in countless ways, and I started thinking about these. We spent, since we were trapped in our home, we spent more time on the internet and more time watching TV, binging shows. I was talking to my wife, and she is with the pre-K program for the state of Georgia, and she goes all over these areas, and she goes into these pre-Ks. Well, the COVID children now are in pre-K, and she notices they don't have any social interaction. They don't have any facial expression. They can't even express their emotions because they're used to wearing a mask. You know, it's kind of like when you get a text, and you're going like, what do they mean by that? And you think they mean one thing, but they could mean something completely different. And you call them and you're angry. I can't believe you said that. And you say, wait a minute, that's not the way I said it. I was just asking you a question. We need interaction with people. COVID also gave a rise to Amazon and DoorDash. You don't even have to leave the house. You can order anything you want. Amazon will deliver it. You don't even have to answer the door when they come. They'll take a picture of it. They'll ring your doorbell. They'll leave. You wait for them to leave. Then you can bring it in. You don't even have to see another person. Same thing with DoorDash, you know, except they want to meet you at the door because they're hoping they'll give you another, you'll give them another tip. But Amazon, DoorDash, you don't have to deal with people. And in social media, people will say, well, you know, I have a lot of friends. I'm connected. Look at this. I have 600 friends. I have 1,000 friends. I have 10,000 friends. Look at all these. Those are not your friends. Those are not your friends. Those are just nameless, faceless people on the internet. But it affects us, right? You post something and nobody gives you a thumbs up or a heart or says they like it. What happens to you? You get mad. No one liked my post. No one liked my post. I even saw, and this broke my heart, I saw someone put something out. It says, I'm thinking of divorcing my husband. What do y'all think? What is this, like an AP poll? All those in favor, all those opposed. Okay, I guess I'll stick with the old man. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Social media is this fake community. It's not real community. It's like turning on one of those video fires that we get every Christmas, you know, and thinking that you're sitting in front of a fireplace. It's fake. It's false. It's the illusion of that. I talked to Sandra, and Sandra said her father used to call cell phones, call them porcelain gods. Now, I don't know what he meant by it, but I can tell you what I thought about it when he said that. What do you know about porcelain? Well, porcelain is expensive. It has lots of bells and whistles. You think of a porcelain doll, they're expensive. So our cell phones, they have all the bells and whistles, but what happens? They keep us focused on it, right? And it's not the real world. We find ourselves walking around and, you know, I haven't felt a ding in a while, so I'm looking to see if anybody texts me. No one texts me. And then I'll walk around a little bit more and, no one texts me again. What's going on? I got an email. I got to check my email. And we're tied to that. It's a God that we're tied to. And it's false. And it's fake. It looks good, but porcelain, it looks great, but it is fragile and it is weak and it's just an imitation of what is real. So why do we need people? Well, God says that we need people, but why do we need people? Because social media is a false community. Why? Because you can scroll past it. You can turn it off. You can ignore it. But what happens? We don't. We get angry. We get depressed because someone didn't like us or someone made fun of our post. The finger, it needs the hand. The hand needs the arm. The arm needs the shoulder. The shoulder bone connected to, you know, and it just keeps going, right? We need to connect. And that connection is called community. Community. And can a Christ follower not be connected to people? No. No. Think again of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're together. They're in community. And God is calling us to be into community. Now, there are times for solitude. Don't get me wrong. And especially all of you introverts out there, you're going like, I don't even like people. You know, hey, I don't like people a lot of times too. But the point is, there's time for solitude. I mean, meditation, time for prayer, time to get into God's word. But Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to what? To serve. Now, how do you serve if you're not around people? You've got to be connected. You've got to go into the world. In fact, that was his commission to us, to go into the world, to preach, to teach, to baptize. You can't do that just on social media. You can't do that on your own. Well, me and God are tight. I don't need the church. Yes, you do. We all do. And I make fun of this more than anybody. You can ask Sandra. I mean, she's probably got a log on this. But you remember those church signs that said, you know, all these crazy church signs? We try not to do that. We try to put stuff out there that's, you know, meaningful or whatever. But one of the things that I used to laugh at all the time is C-H-C-H. What's missing? You are, you know, for church. It's like, as hokey as that is, that's what's missing in our world today, us being the church. Not sitting in a building, but being the church, being in community, being in fellowship with one another. We cannot fulfill Jesus' commission to go into the world by avoiding community. We need others. Why do we need others? Well, we need accountability. We need support. We need help. We oftentimes have blind spots. And we don't even know because they're blind spots. And we need somebody to come alongside in a loving way, Sandra, in a loving way to point out our blind spots. She does. She lovingly corrects me and rebukes me and all the things that Paul told Timothy. Proverbs says this, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We need each other. We need each other. And it's so important. Why do we need each other? Well, Paul writes to the Galatians. He says, because we bear one another's burdens. And when we do that, we so fulfill the law of Christ. We are better together. Now, bearing each other's burden doesn't mean if you're depressed and I come alongside of you that I have to be depressed. You know, it just means to come alongside. Margie and I are doing this Bible study, this devotion as a couple, and we're going chronologically through the Bible. And yesterday, it was and started on in the book of Job. We started the first few chapters of Genesis, then it goes to Job right after the flood. And so in Job, you see all the things that Job is going through, and then his three friends come. And it says, you know, and they get a bad rap because of the things that they're telling Job. But for the first time when they come, for 7 days, you know what they do? Nothing. They just sit there with Job. They sit there in his suffering. They're not suffering. They're not saying anything like, oh, you know, just trust, just believe, God will get you better. They're not doing anything. They're just there. Why? Because we need people. Well, you know, I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. That's what they remember. Yeah, you were there for me. Well, I didn't really do anything. You didn't have to do anything. I wasn't looking to be fixed. Just the fact that you were there for me. You were there with me. And that's so important. Well, that person made me mad. Well, you know what? Forgiveness, that's messy community, but forgiveness is really a catalyst to begin discipleship. James tells us this, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You can't do one another if you're not with another. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. You know, interceding for somebody else is a privilege that we have in prayer. I want to pray for you. How can I pray for you? What about suffering alone? It's the worst thing in the world. Nobody gets me. Nobody understands me. It leads to depression, suicide. It leads us to these dark places. We need people to come along. So in the church, what do we have? We have small groups. Connect. We have our church fellowship. Connect. Don't just come in on a Sunday morning and say, well, you know, hey, I'm here. I got my fill, checked it off of the box. Now I can leave. Connect. Spend time. Get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to just give you a bunch of these. 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, encourage one another. He goes on in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another, build one another up. In Ephesians, Paul writes, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bear with one another in love. In Galatians, he writes, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. In Ephesians, he says this too, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Community is required as Christ followers. It's not just church attendance. It's doing life together. Those of us that are Christ followers, we have been baptized into God's family. We share communion. We share fellowship with one another. We work together. We serve together. We pray together. We study together. We do these things together because we are the church. But it's not just being here in the building. How many of you know somebody that's been hurt by a church? Maybe something was said, something was done, and it just caused you to cause them to walk away from the church. Well, let me tell you this. How many of you ever been hurt outside of the church? Whether it's your children, whether it's a job, whether it's something a person said, maybe it was someone you were dating. See, you're going to get hurt. Jesus tells us in this world you will have trials, you will have all of these problems, but to be of good cheer because he's overcome all of that. What helps us walk through that valley is community, people to come alongside and say, you don't have to walk alone. Many of us know people that have been affected, not just in the church, but in our society. People that maybe didn't like their neighborhood. Ooh, my neighborhood's changing, so I got to get out of here, right? And so they got to find a new neighborhood until that neighborhood does something they don't like, and then they move to another neighborhood, and then they move to another neighborhood. Okay, what about a job? You get a job, and I don't like my job. Why not? Well, no one does anything. Everybody hates me. And so what do? You get another job. And then after 6 months, you're like, I can't stand this job. Why? What's wrong with the job? Well, everybody hates me. No one talks to me. And you find out that you're going job to job to job when you may be the only constant thing in those job searches. The sad thing, it's gone into our churches. Yeah, I don't like the music, so I'm going to go find another church. I don't like the pastor. I'm going to go find another church. You know what? They just don't offer what I'm looking for. I'm going to go find another church. We just keep looking and keep looking and keep looking until we find a church that looks exactly like us. Instead of being challenged, instead of going and seeing what God says, instead of iron sharpening iron, we just go and continue to just, you know, worship ourselves. Doing life together, community, is not always about the church building. I started thinking about my life, and there are a lot of times that I'm not Pastor Paul. Now, that doesn't mean I act crazy, because I act crazy even as Pastor Paul. But I'm talking about there are times when I'm not wearing necessarily the pastor hat. Like, for example, I'll go golfing occasionally. And if you've ever seen me golf, you may not call it golf, but I do. You know, I'm out there at least hitting a ball. I don't know where it's going most of the time. But I don't have to be Pastor Paul. But so many times while I'm golfing, maybe something will come up about church, or something will come up about the Bible, or something will come up and I'll just be able to share. Every second Saturday, I play in a band where we play at the VFW. And they didn't really know me as Pastor Paul until one of the you know, because I'm dancing, I'm singing and stuff, and they just think, oh man, he's just a great star and musician, is what they're thinking. That's what I was thinking they were thinking. That's not what they were thinking. So, but what happened is, one time, one of the kids of one of the people that were there, who was there, hurt his hand. And I saw him over there crying. And so on one of the breaks, I went over there and said, Matt, are you okay? And he told me what happened. I said, Matt, can I just pray for you? So I just laid my hands on him and I just prayed for him. It wasn't a big deal or whatever, but some people saw that. So now they're like, hey, where's your church? So I tell them where our church is. Hey, we're going to come to your church. They don't ever come. But the idea is, I can share Jesus wherever I am, and I don't have to be up here at the pulpit being Pastor Paul. There are strategic moments that God puts in my life. I go hiking with Steve, and you know, I'm calling on God. God, get me through this, you know. But we talk about the church. We talk about the Bible. Hey, Paul, what about this? Have you thought about this? Hey, Steve, have you thought about this? And it gives us an opportunity just to talk about God, and we're not in the church building. I go to the gym as much as I can. I try to go every day or at least 3 or 4 times a week. And when I go in the gym, you know, I stop and I talk to the people at the counter. And I talk to some people when I'm walking in. And I even sometimes wear a shirt that says pray. And I wear that, and I, you know, I've had some people say, man, I love your shirt. And I'm like, yeah, I love it too, because I need it, you know, pray for me. And it gives opportunity just to share the word of Christ, to be in community, to let them know that, hey, I'm not closed off. I'm investing and I'm inviting, and I want you to do that. I want you to invest and I want you to invite. Invite people to come, but don't invite people just to come to hear 3 Point. Invite them into your circle. Invite and invest in these people. Priority, make time. And when you make time and make priority, what you're doing is you're letting go of some good things to get to the better things, the great things, what really matters. People mattered to Jesus. People. You know, as the disciples are saying, hey, we got to hurry up and get here, he was more concerned about the people. Hold on a minute, we'll get there. Let's deal with these people first. And that's what we should be doing. Our heart is community, community, community. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into the body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white, we are all precious in his sight. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for the lost. But how are they going to know if somebody doesn't go and tell? So I say all of that to break it down into these 3 things. What is the transformed light? What has Jesus done for you? And the first thing we have to think about is a transformed life. What does that even mean? Well, let's look at the scripture, John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In other words, we confess. God, I've been doing stuff on my own, and I've been making a mess of it. We confess that you are Lord, you are God, I am not. And so I am giving myself to you. You are the Lord and master of my life. And so I am confessing. And I am turning my life over. And he begins a transformation in our life. The Holy Spirit begins to do his work in our life. That's the transformed life. The second thing is we join in a community with other believers. Why do we do that? Because we share the same Heavenly Father. We are the same family. We are the family of God. You may think that sounds trite or whatever, but no, we are all related. I've heard it said, some people, that they've said, you know what? My family really is my church family, as opposed to my blood relatives who I can't even stand half of them. These, you guys are my family. You are the guys that I'm sharing my life with, that I'm sharing my problems with, that I'm sharing my joys with, that I'm sharing everything with. I am joining a community with other believers. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. In other words, we are one huge, glorious family. That's who we are. And as much as I may get on your nerves, I'm your brother. I'm not your stepbrother. I'm your full brother. F-U-L-L, not F-O-O-L. So what are we doing about community here? Well, we're going to offer many ways for us to just kind of connect and gird ourselves up for the battle that's going on in our world. We're offering, starting tomorrow morning, a morning Bible study starting in the book of John. 10 o'clock, we'll be in there studying together as a small group. Sunday night, we're going to start tonight. Jason's going to be teaching about, he's going to start in Genesis. He may only get Genesis verses 1 and 2, who knows. But he's going to be studying the book of Genesis because it's a small group or a large group or whoever comes, because we're going to start doing life together. On Wednesday night, starting on the 15th, we are going to have several different groups that are meeting. We're having a group that's going to meet on how to grow into spiritual maturity. We're also going to have a group for young adults that it's called Adulting, and it's about how to be an adult in Christ. We're going to have a group for the kids that it's going to be, hey, we're going to teach you how to grow up knowing who Jesus is and knowing the stories of the Bible. And so we're going to offer those things. And there's probably a million things we're going to be offering. Well, not a million, but we're going to offer a lot of things during this year for us to get involved and just be there. The men, we have a fire. We just sit around the fire pit and we just talk and just share together and do life together. You know, at one time we had a walking group. We called them soulmates, S-O-L-E. Soulmates, what a great idea just to get out and walk. Well, you may not want to walk when it's 30 degrees out, but you know what? We have a prayer walk around the building. And you could just come to the church and just kind of walk around. If it's too cold out there, I'll open it up and you can walk around in here. Add the steps there, get a little bit of flight going on. But what can we do to start being in community with one another? And then the third thing, and this is probably the most important thing, pray that God will fan the flame of revival and community, not just for Three Point, but for all churches. I mean, we're in a time where people are just walking away from church. We've grown too smart. We don't believe these old stories. The Bible was written so long ago, it doesn't even apply today. And we forget that God has set up laws in the universe that haven't changed. God doesn't change. Once God said it, he does it. And he will do it. And that's our hope. And so we pray to him and say, God, fan the flames of revival in our church and in all of the churches across our nation and across the world, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be a light to save. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be the body of Christ here in this place, to be with people that we know and people that we grow with. Father, I ask that you would just instill in us a desire to be with people, to love people as you have loved us. And Father, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.